Please be seated. You may have heard this story before about the woman who brought to the vet a very limp duck. She laid her pet on the table. The vet pulled out his stethoscope and listened closely to the bird's chest. After a moment or two, the vet shook his head and sadly said, "I'm sorry, your duck Cuddles has passed away." The distressed woman wailed, "Are you sure?" "Yes," said the vet, "I'm sure. Your duck is dead." "How can you be so sure?" she said. I mean, you haven't done any testing on him or anything. He might just be in a coma or something." The vet sighed, turned around, and left the room. He returned a few minutes later with a black Labrador retriever. As the duck's owner looked on in amazement, the dog stood on its hind legs, put his front paws on the examination table, and sniffed the duck from top to bottom. He then looked up at the vet with sad eyes and made a soft whimper. The vet patted the dog on the head and took it out of the room. A few minutes later, he returned carrying a cat. He set the cat on the table, and it also delicately sniffed the bird from head to foot. Then the cat sat back on its haunches, meowed softly, jumped from the table, and strolled out of the room. The vet looked at the woman and said, "I'm sorry, I can tell you now that this is most definitely 100% certifiably a dead duck." He turned to his computer terminal, hit a few keys, produced a bill, which he handed to the woman. The duck's owner, still in shock, took the bill. She read it and said, $150? $150 just to tell me my duck is dead?" The vet shrugged and said, "Well, I'm sorry. If you had just taken my word for it, the bill would have been $20. But with the lab report and the CAT scan, well..." "Now, it's $150. Most definitely 100% certifiably. How do we know for sure? That's the question we ask about a lot of things, isn't it? How do we really know? We hear people say things, but how do we know they're telling us the truth? We want proof. This, of course, affects us in all sorts of different ways. That's why there are written guarantees, because we want something more than simply spoken words. That's why we have civil court, so that people who don't say what they mean in the commercial world are held responsible. It's not enough for something to be said. It needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be proved. This idea isn't new, is it? People have always wanted and needed proof to believe something difficult. People have always doubted the word of others. Something people have demanded at the time of Adam and Eve. And this is what's being referred to in our gospel lesson today as well. Jesus tells his disciples a new command. "By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." We do not prove our personality by our Christianity simply by what we say. No, it's by what we do. It's by how we live. It's by how we relate to each other, how we treat each other. This is the real proof, isn't it? Jesus said to his disciples to love each other. The command to love one's neighbor as oneself actually wasn't new with Jesus. Love within the community was highly regarded in the Qumran community before Christ. Neighborly love was also emphasized in the first century by Rabbi Hillel. So loving one's neighbor as oneself, while it was revolutionary with Jesus in that when Jesus taught it, he applied it to everyone that you came in contact with, still, the command itself wasn't distinctive. What was new, what was distinctive, and what remains distinctive was Jesus' command for his disciples to love one another as he has loved them. Now he's added a completely new level. We're to love as he loved us. And he loved us with a sacrificial love. He loved us by laying down his life for us. This is the new standard. This rule of self-sacrificial, self-giving, selfless love, inspired by Christ's own love for his disciples, serves as the foundational ethic for the Christian community. See, we can say to others, oh yes, I follow Jesus. I'm his disciple. I'm a Christian. And to confess this is great. We can even know lots of the scripture verses. We can attend church regularly. We can even give money and help those who are in need. All of that's really good stuff. But what sets us apart as real Christians is how we love each other, how we care for each other. You see, that's what Jesus did for us. He literally gave his life so that we could live. Scripture tells us, though he had no sin, he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sin so that we could be reconciled to God. This is the greatest example of love. There is no greater love, Scripture tells us, than that a man who gives his life for his friends. There's the story, a true story, of the Scottish soldier named Angus, who along with the company, his company, had been captured by the Japanese in World War II. The Argyles, that's what the Scottish soldiers called themselves, took their buddy system very seriously. Their buddy was called their mucker. And Argyles believed that it was literally up to each of them to make sure their mucker survived. Angus's mucker, though, was dying. And everyone else had given up on him. Everyone, of course, except for Angus. He made up his mind that his friend was not going to die on his watch. Someone had stolen his mucker's blanket, so Angus gave him his own. And he told his mucker that he was able to get another one. Likewise, at every mealtime, Angus would get his rations and take them to his friend and stand over him and force him to eat them, again stating that somehow he was able to get extra food. Angus was going to do anything to make sure his buddy got what he needed to survive. But as Angus's mucker began to recover, Angus himself collapsed. He slumped over and he died. The doctor discovered that he died of starvation, complicated by exhaustion. He had given his own food, his own shelter, he'd given everything he had, even his own life, so that his friend could live. This is the sort of love that we as Christians are supposed to have, the love of self-sacrifice. This is the love that gives evidence that we are really followers of Jesus. On Wednesday, our Bible study, we're looking at themes in 1 John, and one of the primary themes there is the necessity of love for one another. In 1 John, it talks about if we love, we walk in the light. What this means is that since if a person is in light, they can see where they are, what they're doing, and where to go. And in the same way, if we love, we know what to do. If we're going to love, we know how to act. The scripture teaches us that love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, arrogant, or rude. And it also teaches that love doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable or resentful. And since we know these things about love, we know how we're supposed to behave towards others. We may not feel like it all the time, but it's how we're supposed to act. As Christians, we behave that way. So how do we know for sure? How do we know if we are 100% certifiably real Christians? We don't need a lab test or a CAT scan. We can look at our own behavior. Does our behavior toward each other show kindness, patience, politeness? These are the marks of being a Christian. This is the proof of our Christianity. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die even death upon a cross. So let's pray that God helps us to obey Christ, to love each other, and to persistently walk in the way that he has showed us. Amen.